Home Depot posted better-than-expected profits, but, and you knew there would be one, they still worry about the lingering trade issue. It's the Business News headlines for Tuesday, the 20th day of August. Thanks, everybody, for being with us again today. In other business news, a major retailer is testing banning gun sales. Meanwhile, it seems gun sales are a thing on the Facebook marketplace. A Disney whistleblower says the company has overstated revenues for years. Google, they've launched a new low-power search app, and consumers are about to feel the bite of the Trump tariffs. Those stories and more, along with Marketing for Business, is back with Phil K. James of Good Milkshake Digital. We're talking data and Facebook. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The Business News is next.
Hey, welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Hour. Thanks for being with us. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. Well, second quarter earnings for Home Depot easily surpassed estimates, but the home improvement retailer has trimmed their full-year revenue outlook. Why? Well, partly due to worries about tariffs slowing consumer spending going forward. The big box retailer said that while discussions are fluid, consumer demand could be impacted given the fact that more tariffs will fall directly to their retail customers. Earnings per share were pegged at $3.17, while analysts had expected $3.08. Same-store sales were up by 3%. Expected growth was at 3.5%. Home Depot also said the average shopper's ticket was up by 1.7% during the second quarter to what? $67.31, just in case you were wondering. Speaking of tariffs and the trade war, they are about to take a bite out of your life. American consumers are about to find themselves squarely in the crosshairs, and households are now estimated to face up to $1,000 in additional costs each year from the tariffs. All of that, according to research from JP Morgan Chase. Consumers, whose spending fuels about 70% of the U.S. economy, have largely been shielded from previous rounds of tariffs, which have left businesses reeling and upended global supply chains. But all that's about to change with the 10% levies on roughly $300 billion in Chinese imports, about a third of which will take effect on September 1. Those tariffs will primarily target consumer goods. Now, true, President Trump, keenly aware that the tariffs could damage the economy, abruptly announced he would delay tariffs on certain popular products like laptops, footwear, and video games. That's about two-thirds of the impacted items until mid-December. But that's not enough to eliminate the added burden for consumers. JP Morgan researchers calculated the 10% tariffs would cost American households about $1,000 annually. Now, if the tariffs are raised to 25%, as Trump has warned, consumers' costs could go as high as $1,500 a year. For consumers, the tariffs' fallout will be big enough to erase the benefits of Trump's 2017 tax cuts, which boosted many American families' take-home pay by several hundred dollars last year. All of this, all of it, seems to be weighing on the minds of you, the consumer. Despite a July rise in consumer spending, the University of Michigan's Consumer Confidence Index fell to a seven-month low last week, and the index gauging American consumers forward? Well, that outlook slipped even further. Dick's Sporting Goods considered stopping all gun sales in early 2018. A shooting at the high school in Parkland, Florida had killed 17 people, and the company was shocked into action. But in the end, the company made the decision to make changes to their gun sales policy, but not ban gun sales altogether. However, all of that could be changing. Dick's, one of the country's biggest gun retailers, has been quietly testing the water on whether to pull out entirely from what it calls the hunt business and that would include firearms. An announcement with the results of the test is expected this Thursday, when the company is set to report quarterly results. You know, when Walmart reported earnings back on August 15, CEO Douglas McMillon said the company supports stronger gun measures, though he stopped short of endorsing a specific plan. But Dick's has been the mainstream retailer so far to make the loudest public statement about firearm sales. 2 weeks after the Parkland shooting, Dick's decided to drop the sale of assault-style weapons that are frequently used in mass shootings, as well as high-capacity magazines that can allow a person to fire more bullets without taking the time to reload. It also raised the age for the sale of any firearm to 21 from 18. And rather than sell off its inventory of assault rifles to another retailer, Dick's had the weapons destroyed. Earlier this year, the company pulled the hunting business out of 125 stores, leaving sales in about 600 stores. The company said it would study the impact on overall store sales at those 125 stores and complete its review. This month, expect some type of an announcement on Thursday. In a related story, it looks like gun sellers are making their mark in Facebook's marketplace. As you know, Facebook launched its marketplace feature 4 years ago, allowing it more than 2 billion users to buy and sell almost any secondhand item by clicking a button on their homepage. The private sales of many items, including guns, though, are specifically forbidden by Facebook rules. However, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that sellers have found a workaround. Sellers list gun cases or boxes at inflated prices. Those postings have become code for the real thing, while in many instances evading Facebook's efforts to screen postings for banned items. Sellers, via private messages, then describe the more valuable content, the gun itself, with would-be buyers and hash out a deal. Earlier this month, one seller in North Carolina posted a photo on Marketplace of a hard gray case with the title Gun Case, and he was asking $950 for the gun case. A similar case, by the way, has a retail cost of $30. The seller, in an interview with the Wall Street Journal conducted over Facebook Messenger, said that he was really selling an AR-15-style semi-automatic rifle. He shared a photo of the rifle laid out on a bed, alongside more than 670 rounds of ammunition, 6 magazines, oh, and yeah, the case. A spokeswoman for Facebook said the social media giant takes immediate action against individuals caught selling guns on the marketplace platform and removes violating content, but she didn't discuss specifics. Well, in the second big story about the Disney company, in less than a month, a former Walt Disney Company accountant turned whistleblower and said the Securities and Exchange Commission told them that the company has materially overstated revenues for years. Sandra Kuba, a former senior financial analyst in Disney's revenue operations department and who worked for the company for 18 years, said Disney has overstated revenue by billions of dollars by exploiting weaknesses in the company's accounting software. A Disney spokesperson said the company has reviewed the allegations and found they are utterly without merit. The SEC is asking for more information from Kuba in a second round of talks. However, and this is interesting, a former attorney for the SEC's enforcement division told the media that SEC receives about 25,000 tips, complaints, and referrals each year, but the vast majority don't make it as far as the SEC asking for information more than once. And in this case, this would suggest an inquiry is underway. You might remember it was just last month that the niece of Walt Disney said it was immoral that the Disney CEO Bob Iger is paid 300 to 500% more than the employees working at the Magic Kingdom. A year and a half after it had a limited launch in India and Indonesia, the lightweight Google Go search app is now available worldwide. At just over 7 megabytes in size, the app is meant to find a way for information to flow online for low-powered devices, and is also it's able to remember your search results when you go back online if your connection drops. The app is available now on the Play Store, and Google says it will run on all Android devices running on Lollipop 5.0 and above. As well as being designed to work on low-powered devices, Google Go also has a couple of features that the company says are designed for the needs of emerging markets. Earlier this year, Google added Lens functionality into Google Go, which allows the app to use its camera to read text from the real world out loud. The app also features support for voice search and, as of this time last year, can read web pages out loud. Wow. A move away from typing and reading is no coincidence, by the way. After all, a report published by the Wall Street Journal back in 2017 noted that the next 1 billion users, Google is so vocally targeting, are likely to rely more on video and voice to interact with their devices rather than typing. Times they are a-changing. Hey, coming up next, we've got Phil K. James back in the house. You might remember Marketing for Business. We kind of let it lapse for several months, but Phil has agreed to come back and share his knowledge about digital marketing. Phil is with Good Milkshake Digital, and what he's got to say about data and Facebook could reignite your business. Phil K. James, coming up next here on the Business News Hour.